Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, hello again. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm here again with you for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I am alive to love. All lesser values than love, to me, can easily devolve into BS. Those things that we use to manipulate or strategize and how to get the upper hand on people. Love doesn't do that. We need to hear a new word in this day and time. Be alive to love. Don't be alive to argue. Don't be alive to debate. Don't be alive for fussing. Don't be alive for causing pain. Don't be alive for commiserating how right you are and how wrong everybody else is. Don't tell me how wrong your opponents are. Tell me how brilliant your ideas are. Be alive to love. That's the call of God upon the human race. We are, each one of us, called to deepen our love quotient in this big, bad, ugly world. This world is a tough world, isn't it? And just being tough isn't enough in response to it. But being able to rise above all the ugliness of our world and to show a better way. And that better way is one way, love. When we love, we have become people of the presence and the beauty of God, because God is love. God is not a rock. God is not a mountain. God is not a planet. God is not a star. God is love. And when we abide in love, then we're abiding in God. This comes from the beautiful little epistle of 1 John in the New Testament. When you abide in love, you abide in God. And when you abide in God, you abide in love. There's this synchronicity about it. There's this ever-growing pool of love that God is. And that as you abide in that love, then you're abiding in God himself. But you see, if we step aside from that love, if we step aside on some level to say, well, you know, in this moment, I've got a better idea than love. Well, then you've stepped aside from God. We cannot afford to step aside from God. God is love. So let us stay in the deep end of love. Let's dive into the risk of love. Let's dive in to this deep end of God. Because, see, if we downsize love, if we marginalize love, if we somehow out of our injuries and our woundedness, we learn to protect ourselves from love and then redefine love to fit our anger, well, then we will equally downsize God. We'll equally marginalize God. We'll equally push away God and we'll miserably redefine God in other terms than love. God is love. Love is God. And I know some people think, oh my, you're just making God to be a little too risky with this love talk. There's just too much possibility of people abusing that. And I have found that anytime I really love, anytime that my love is genuine and true, I found this as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, I found this as a bishop, that the more I love, the more risk I take, because there will always be someone somewhere who may abuse my love. And I've learned God's love, divine love, is always too much. It's too much. There's way too much love. It's, you know, the sun doesn't rise in the morning as if to say there needs to be a little less sunlight today so the sun doesn't find the rheostat switch and dial down the sunlight. No. That doesn't happen. The sun has that same radiance day in, day out, week in, week out, decade in. Hundreds of years, millennia, the sun stays the same. And so God's love is always the same, no matter what we do with that love or however we may abuse that love. It's always too risky. It's always too wide. It's always too deep. It's always too high. And it's always too wild for our cliched little bumper stickers. I understand. We're trying to do our best, but I would rather see us be love then pasted on our bumper stickers. Posters, t-shirts, oh, okay. Well, I guess if you got to tell people God is love, that's fine. But don't put it on a poster. Don't wear it on your t-shirt if you're not prepared to live the high risk of love in this world. This world is in the shape it's in out of the pain that it is suffering. The only answer for that pain that is viable is an army of people who have a love for God, and God's love for them is real. And as we walk into our world with honest, risky, deep, beautiful, non-measured, un-marginalized love, get it off your t-shirt and put it in your life. The love of God is the genius of God. And the genius of God will have the final say on all reality. I want you to hear that. The genius of God is His love. The genius of God is His love for all humanity. And when I don't even know how many funerals in my life I've conducted as a pastor, it's too many to count. And every time there's been a funeral, when somebody's life has not been lived in a way that is circumspect, or maybe not even a moment's of their life, I've been in church. I have families, mothers, husbands, fathers, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents. You get my point. Everybody wants to know after this person's died that what's going to happen to them? What will God do? I don't think they filled out all the cards at church that they should have filled out. I don't think they were baptized according to the right formula of the right church that said that we should baptize only this way. I'm not sure if they're going to pass the test. The final exam is on them now. What will happen, Pastor? And I have learned this, that when the final, and in the final analysis, the love of God and the genius of that love will have the final say on every human reality. See, none of us are in any shape, matter, or form capable of understanding the pain anybody's ever lived, understanding the confusion someone has lived, or the lack of love that they've had to live through. None of us have a right to judge or to declare somebody made it or didn't make it. They came sliding in the home, like the baseball analogy. They came sliding in the home and the umpires said, "You're out." Well, none of us have that right. We are not capable of seeing into the psyche, the emotion, the addictions, the abuse from addictions that somebody's lived, and decide that this person is either safe or out when they come sliding into home in their final breath. Love alone is credible. Love alone has the final say on all reality. I tell people all the time, you've heard me say it here many, many times, in that final moment when you close your eyes and you are whisked away in death, and you open your eyes, I promise you, you will open your eyes and look into the face of the most majestic, mighty, incredibly beautiful love that you could ever imagine. Your eyes will meet the eyes of love. Why? Because God is love. Love is God. You abide in God, you abide in love. You abide in love, you abide in God. And coming to that final moment in life, the genius of God will have the final say, because the genius of God is the love of God. The genius of God is not your doctrine. The genius of God is not my doctrine. The genius of God is not my church formula. The genius of God is not my church formula. The genius of God is love. As God sees in ways that no human can see, as God is able to assimilate a life story in a way that none of us can assimilate that life story, they will meet love in that moment. I am absolutely committed to shouting from the rooftops, I'm alive to love. So let me give you love's creed. And this is a creed that I wrote some years ago that I'm very proud of. I really, truly, genuinely believe that if we could live this creed, we would begin a tsunami. It might be a small misting rainstorm to begin with, but I believe that if every one of us, in every small place, in every large place, in every insignificant place, in every significant place, if we could be alive to love, live this creed, we would begin a beautiful tsunami, a rainstorm that would wash this world with the power of the love of God. And here's my love's creed. I'm going to give it to you in total to start with. Then I'll back up slowly and give it to you as I would a husband and their or a bride and their groom at the wedding altar. I'll give it to you in short bursts, let you take it in a little at a time. And I just want you to join me in a covenant to this creed. Here it is. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. That's love's creed. Now, that's the creed in total. Let me give it to you like I would at a marriage altar in short bursts. Here we go. I'm alive to love. Repeat after me. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. This is the creed that I believe could begin a change in our world, in this world of frightening news and terrible, terrible events that none of us can grapple with individually. I think there comes a great strength and a power of hearts that can be united around love. To love regardless, to love beyond, to love above, to love encircling all people that we see, all people that we encounter, all people, all places, everywhere. You see, because love requires of me choices. So I'm going to give you, just in this last 15 minutes of my broadcast, the choices of love. Love requires choices. Love requires that, first of all, I surrender my need to be right. Surrender it. Oh, my ego screams. My ego shouts like a three-year-old child that's being bad and naughty. My ego says, I'm right and you're wrong and I'm going to prove it no matter what. Love requires that I surrender the need to be right. Surrendering the need to be right is such a difficult, it's a difficult moment, isn't it? I have lived so many situations where me being right, I've had to own the fact that now I'm making other people wrong. And when I've been wrong, see, if I've been wrong a few times, yeah, I know it's hard for you to believe, but let me try to convince you. I've been wrong on a few things. But if I'm right, I've got to prove others wrong. And if I prove them wrong, now I've injured them in a way that nothing else is quite like that injury. And they may indeed be wrong. But admitting how wrong you are is never an easy thing, right? It's never easy for us to say, oh, shoot, I was wrong. Now, if I need to be right, I'm living outside the requirements of love. Because love surrenders the need to be right. Love gives up, not because we're wrong, but because I am not willing to damage you with me being right. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love doesn't care who is right, love cares what is right. Which is to say, if you're right and I'm wrong, then I care more about what's right than I care about my own ego. And if I'm right and you're wrong, I care about you and your healthy ego, that I'm not going to damage you by proving over and over again and beating you with my I'm right stick. I'm going to be a person of the gentleness and the beauty of love. I have surrendered the need to be right. And surrendering that puts me in a posture of humility. So the requirement of love is humility. Humility that says, I want to find a way to serve you. I want to find a way to tend to your wounds. Like the Good Samaritan who found the person that was beaten by the side of the road. You know, the Good Samaritan is a story about how religious folks walked around the victim who had been beaten and robbed. The Good Samaritan story that Jesus told is about how somebody was left in the ditch to die. And even people who had their get into heaven free card were walking past this poor soul. But then the Good Samaritan, and by the way, the Samaritans in this story are the folks on the outside looking in. They're the folks that just don't, you know, they don't sit in my pews. They don't come to my church. I mean, figuratively speaking, work with me there. The Samaritans were not my kind. They were not my type of people. They were not my color. They were not my equivalency in terms of morality. But the Good Samaritan came along, saw the person dying, bound up their wounds and put them on his own beast, carried that person to the nearest motel, checked them in at his own expense, and told the innkeeper, take care of this soul and whatever charges are required for caring of this soul, put them on my tab. The story of the Good Samaritan is about as much about humility as it is love, because love requires humility. The humility of saying, I'm not going to try to avoid this situation. I'm humble enough to recognize if I see the need, I'm called to it. That's a statement I've used as a pastor many, many times through the years. Many years ago, I shared that with a church where we had some flower beds that needed tending. And I had one lady who just had this tendency to consistently tell me what we needed to do, what we needed to do. It was never about what she was offering to do. And so I came up with a phrase in that church and I said, you know what? If you see the need, you're called to it. There's a humility about seeing a need. And that humility says, I'm not going to walk the other way. It's going to inconvenience me. It's going to make me late for my appointments. It's going to take the place of things that I need to do in this day. But humility says, my love says, I'm surrendering all things. I'm required to love through humility. So anyway, I said that phrase in this church. I said, if you see the need, you're called to it. And I remember this lady came to me one day in particular. And I could see by her body language and her face at church, she was ready to tell me what something she saw, a need we had. And she said, oh, Pastor, we need to. And she stopped. And she said, oh, I know what you're going to say. If I see the need, I'm called to it. Well, I think we're okay. And she walked away. She didn't finish the sentence of whatever it was she was prepared to tell me we needed to. It was probably something about the flower beds that I mentioned. My point is this. Love requires my need to surrender, my need to be right. And love requires humility. It requires how I can step aside from my own priorities long enough to take care of someone else's need. To step aside from my own, as I said in the first, need to be right. To step aside from being right and step aside to listen. Humility is the means of listening. And love is that bedrock underneath humility that says, slow it down, give up your pride, and listen, humble yourself. And the third, not the last, but the least requirement of love, the third one is that when I love, when I really, really love, I will find myself in need of love as well. Let me explain that. We need to learn to treat life as a bank account. I'm forever required to make deposits. If I spend, I've got a deposit. So if I come to the point where I am finding it difficult to love, then I am also at the point where I need love. I need to find love. I need to put myself in the influence of love. I need to let love come my way. I need to let love be a source for me. I think we've all done this with our physical bank accounts where we accidentally spent more than we really had. And oh my, it hurts, doesn't it? The bank makes sure that advice we listen to, but pain you will obey. You bounce that check and you're going to be paying penalties for that error in your accounting. So when I love a lot, and when I love routinely, when I love as much as I know how, I am in the need of keeping that love tank full, making sure that I am putting myself in the place where love can be deposited when I've been spending my love. Love does have requirements, folks. I'm not trying to tell you that somehow love is going to make life a yippee-skippy, cotton candy kind of easy-peasy way. Love is the heavy lifting of the world. Love is the heavy lifting of humanity. Love is that process of deepening our psychological strengths. Love is the process by which I am putting myself in a place where demands are put upon me. But listen to me carefully. When you spend at that level, and I'm encouraging you to do so, you must be aware of your love account and making yourself available to others and their love is very important. Let me give you a few examples how to make yourself available for love. And one is very simple. Making yourself available to love is when somebody compliments something you've done and you learn to say, thank you, I appreciate that. When somebody is aware of the right you've done and you are, it can be a little uncomfortable when you're complimented, but don't deflect that. Learn to receive that. It's just as important to receive it as it is to give it. So when you're complimented for a meal you cooked that was well done, when you're complimented for a project that you finished that everybody benefited by and somebody came along and said, oh, what a wonderful project. Thank you for doing that. It's okay for you to say, well, there were others that worked with me, but it is more okay for you to recognize you just got a deposit in your love account. Somebody put love in your account. That's one way you keep your love account rich. But the most important way to keep your love account rich is to recognize the love of God for you. And this is how I want to close today. There is no high point, low point on the love of God. The love of God is ever, ever, ever growing. In the book of Ephesians, it says the height, the depth, the width, the breadth of the love of God. That is my favorite passage in the Bible. The height, the depth, the width, the beauty, the significance, how the love of God surpasses all of our imagination and that this love is aimed at us. And so when we are living in the requirements of love, which is to surrender the right to be need, to be living in humility, when we surrender the right to love and we recognize that this is the way I want to live my life, well, then we're giving out of that. But then we have to see in this requirement of love that we are required to receive deposits. We're required to receive the incoming influence of the love of God. His love, the love of our Father, is inextinguishable. But here's what I find. It is easily deflected by us. It's easily set aside by us, unfortunately. It's easily neglected by us. Some of us, I think, have learned to say, oh yes, I know God is love, and then we move along our merry way. I'm encouraging you not to move along your merry way. I'm encouraging you to stop, pause daily, make a deposit in your own love account. Let the love of God richly fill you up. Pull up into that love station and get yourself ready for God to just pump your tank full of, oh, baby boy, oh, baby girl, I love you. I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast that at the end of all of our lives, when we close our eyes, we will open them in death. We'll open our eyes in the face of the most loving eyes you've ever imagined. And then that will settle all. But in the meantime, I'm here to tell you, we can now open our eyes, metaphorically speaking, spiritually speaking, open our eyes to the love of God. Let your own soul be on the receiving end right now of him saying, oh, baby girl, oh, my baby boy, I love you, a treasure to me. Listen to that carefully. Put it in whatever context you know how and fill your love tank up so that you can live in a way that you can meet the requirements of love. As we close today's broadcast, I want to do both of the things that we do every time we close. And first is, I want you to breathe good. That's bad grammar, but best thing I can give you right now is a little distraction from the heaviness of what I just talked. Breathe good. Breathe in and hold it. On the count of three, hold that breath as deep as you can down against your diaphragm. Relax your body. Keep your feet flat on the floor. And breathe good. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Do that every day. Find some place somewhere. If you can do it for 5 minutes, it'll really clear your head. But even if you can only do it once or twice along the way, it'll help you relax. The second thing we close every No BS Bishop broadcast with is making sure that I challenge you to make eye contact with people. Yes, it's weird. It's awkward. Some people will dodge that eye contact, but you be a person of a stalwart requirement of love. Be humble enough to look somebody in the eye and say the most charmed, magical words in the human language. I love you. When you do that with eye contact, it is impactful. It does somebody so much more good than anything else I can imagine doing for them. And I want you to treasure the opportunity. If you ever have done it before, you know this is an opportunity that can be and should be treasured. So saying it with eye contact, slowing it down. Don't speed through the words. I love you. Don't do that. Slow it down. Give yourself the opportunity to savor having done it. And you know, as you give, so you will receive. I promise you that if you've done this, you will receive it. And now I want you to imagine I'm looking at you and I'm saying to you, I love you. Thank you for being here again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I treasure these moments with you. I'm very proud of this project. It's like my pastoral counsel via airwaves on radio and by. Now go out there and do something beautiful. Oh, 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 because you know, ugly has been done to death, quite literally. It's time for people of love to be ready to live the requirements of love and be alive to love. God bless you and happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.